After the reading of Scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am going to wait to consider that majestic promise of God in Philippians 4, 19 and 20. And this morning I want to talk to you about giving. Now, I should have the ushers lock the doors to be sure you stay here. But I want to begin with a little story of a church's response to giving. My apologies to the Sunday evening crew because they heard this a few months ago. But there was this little black church and the preacher was preaching his heart out to get the church motivated to move forward. And the preacher said, the church, like the crippled man, has got to get up and walk. And the people responded, that's right, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. And he's kind of getting warmed up on his theme. The church, like Elijah on Mount Carmel, has got to get up and run. And the people shouted, that's right, let it run, preacher, let it run. He gets more excited and he says, the church has got to mount up on wings like eagles and fly. And the people are shouting, that's right, preacher, let it fly, let it fly. And then he says, and if it's going to fly, it's going to take money. And the people mumble, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. But we all love to give to things that we are excited about and interested in. And what Paul is addressing in the context of him saying thank you for the gift that was given, he's giving us some instruction, giving them instruction on the blessedness of giving, and thus to be an encouragement to us. We often think about the amount of giving, and we know the Old Testament rule of a tithe, that's still probably, even though the New Testament seems to go beyond a tithe, it's a good pattern, it's a good goal to think of. But Paul here isn't focused so much on the amount of the giving, but he's wanting you to understand the blessedness and that comes to you. And the theme of joy has been throughout this little letter. Joy in suffering, joy in serving one another, joy in Christ alone and focusing our attention upon him. And you could say that this little segment of the book is our joy in giving that comes to us as we do that. And there are three groupings of thoughts that I want to give you this morning regarding the blessedness of giving. And the first is that in your giving, you share in the ministry in several different ways. And that's in verses 14 to 16. And in verse 14, Paul says that through those gifts, he said to the Philippians, you share in my tribulation. When you give to the Lord, when you give to the church, and it goes, the gifts are used and beyond, you're sharing in the trouble and tribulation of other people. And that concept of sharing is a very significant one in Philippians, back in chapter 1, verse 5, he uses that phrase that he was thankful for their partnership or their sharing, the word koinonia, in the gospel from the first day until now. In Philippians 2, as he's building the groundwork for our serving one another and helping one another in verse 1, and the different things that he lists that we share, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship or koinonia, sharing in the Spirit, we share in that. Skip a little further forward to Philippians 3:10. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and I want to share in his sufferings. Again, koinonia, fellowship, sharing. And so hear what he's saying to you as you're thinking of giving to the Lord and giving your offerings. One part of the blessedness in your giving is that you share in the tribulations of others. You participate with them. You underscore with them. It's the giving is not just an obligation. It's a tremendous privilege and opportunity. It's an honor. You join with other people. Here they're joining with Paul in his tribulation as they give. Your gifts bring great encouragement to those in ministry. It was interesting here, that's in verse 15, it's interesting here that the Philippian church was the only church that was helping Paul. And it was a great encouragement to him. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about it. He says, when I was present with you, speaking to the Corinthians, but when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one, for what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia, which is where Philippi was, supplied my need. When you give, you are encouraging those in ministry. Your gifts here locally not only encourage this ministry, but you encourage our servants in our foreign missionaries and our home missionaries and those serving the church in a variety of ways. It's a great encouragement when you give. I promise you I won't be full of stories, but I do have one more to tell. Samuel Radburn was a good close friend of John Wesley. And he was well-respected, a highly esteemed preacher, an effective preacher. And on one occasion, he found himself in desperate financial need. And John Wesley heard of it, and he wrote him a letter. And he said, Dear Sammy, and he's quoting Psalm 37:3 here, Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Yours affectionately, John Wesley. And he attached to the letter a 5-pound note, which was worth roughly $10. Not a huge amount, but significant. Anyway, Samuel Radburn responded promptly, and he said in his note of thanks, Reverend and dear sir, I have often been struck with the beauty of the passage of Scripture quoted in your letter, but I must confess that I never saw such a useful expository note on it before. Your giving is a great encouragement, however much, however little. And that's part of the blessedness that you experience as someone who gives. A third part in your sharing in the ministry is that your gifts meet needs. The gifts of the Philippians met Paul's needs. In verse 18, he talks about him being abundantly supplied. When you give to the Lord, when you give to his church, you are meeting needs. You may not even be aware of all the different needs that you're meeting, but a lot of the deacons take some of our giving and they meet needs with it. They extend the gifts of mercy to people. These monies that go out beyond our walls go to meet needs of those serving the Lord. And part of your privilege and honor and blessedness in giving is that you are a fellowship, you have sharing in the ministry of the church. It's a great privilege. It's something to be joyful about. It's something to rejoice in. Your gift, however big, however small it is tremendously expanded and benefited and benefiting others. The second aspect of what Paul teaches us here is that your gifts are a gift of grace or a fruit of grace, and they are credited to your account also by grace. In verse 17, he talks about, I'm not looking for a gift, but I'm looking for fruit. The word fruit doesn't come out in the NIV. Some of your other translations have that in there. I'm not seeking the gift, but I'm seeking fruit. And giving is a fruit of grace, just like we think of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control. Giving is a fruit of grace. If you're a Christian, and if you have the fruit of the Spirit in you, then a consequence of that fruit and of that grace is that you will give. You may not be able to give a lot, but you're going to desire to give because it's grace in you. 2 Corinthians 8, Paul talks about it. Let me just read a couple of those verses there. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What is that grace that was bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, the Philippian church? That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Grace in this arena produces the desire and the willingness and the joy in giving. It's a product of grace. If you know the Lord, you will give. Do you see that fruit of grace in your life? Is the desire there even if the ability is not? The other thing that's very interesting about that verse is he says, I desire fruit that will abound to your account or will be credited to your account. He uses an accounting phrase there about being credited to your account. But it's interesting, the phrase is credited to your account is in a sense, if we literally look at it, he's looking for fruit that will speak for you. And I find this very interesting that even though all we have is from God, even though all we have and know and understand is all given to us by the grace of God, the marvel of grace is that God allows what we are able to give back to him to speak to God on our behalf. We're giving back to God what he has already given to us, but God uses what we give back to him as a testimony in our favor in his presence. Isn't that an amazing grace? We don't have anything that God hadn't given us. Everything we have is a gift from his hand, and yet when he receives it back from us, he credits it to our account and receives it with favor. You and I have the blessedness of giving in that it's a fruit of grace, and God uses it to honor us and receive it with favor. And the last part of this text is just the fact of how our giving to the Lord is wonderfully noticed and accepted by God. And you notice the last a few phrases of verse 18, he says three things about our offerings which show how God receives them with favor. He says they are a fragrant offering. And here he's borrowing from the Old Testament sacrificial system and how the sweet-smelling incense was burned as a representative of the prayers that ascended to God, or the fat of the offering was burned, and it was a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. And our offerings, when we give them to God, he's using the same imagery, becomes a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. He delights in it. We like to make other people happy. You want to make your Father in heaven happy? You give. It's an amazing and wonderful privilege and opportunity. You're giving to God. He delights in it. It's a sweet-smelling savor to him. He delights in that. The second thing it tells us there about those gifts as God receives them is that they're an acceptable sacrifice. He receives them with delight. He receives them as acceptable in his sight when we're offering them to him by grace and through faith. In Romans 12, Paul urged us, "Brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." All we have, again, is belongs to God. All we have, we receive from him. And yet he has us return those to him in gratitude to him, and he accepts them as he receives them as an acceptable sacrifice. And then the last thing he says there about our gifts that God receives is that they're well-pleasing to him. These last three phrases kind of overlap, but when you give to the Lord, God is well-pleased. In Hebrews 13, it tells us, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices God is well pleased." As part of our worship and praise of God, when we give our offerings to the Lord, with them, God is well pleased. How could we not want to experience the blessedness of bringing pleasure to our God? So Paul's exhortation to forgiving is focused on the blessedness and the joy that you can and should experience when you give. When you put your offering in, the offering plate is passed, the desire is for you to be filled with joy, to be filled with delight, remembering that your gifts, through them you share in the ministry of the church, not only here locally, but far beyond. That your gifts are a fruit of grace that God allows to be credited to your account. That your gifts are wonderfully noticed and accepted by our God. May you and I experience the blessedness of giving as we focus our thoughts and attention on those things.